And happy snowy Friday to you. This is Central Standard Friday, the Food Critics Edition, and I'm sure you're going to be interested in hearing all the things we're going to be talking about, especially if you've been snowed in like me. And I've been eating every frozen thing in my refrigerator, and I've reached the point that I'm ready to go back to the restaurant world. I'm Charles Ferruzza with The Pitch and The Pitch's food blog, which is fatcity@pitch.com. And I'm here with two very, very talented writers. I'll let them introduce themselves. Mary?
I'm Mary Block. I write the blog Around the Block, and I have a Facebook page Around the Block. I also do the restaurant guide for the Kansas City Star.
And I'm Emily Ferris with FeedMeKC.com and the Feed Me KC podcast. And I admit I ate two cans of tuna yesterday.
Oh, did you really? And lest I forget,
calling in from the tundra.
Calling in from the tundra, the lovely Gloria Gale. Gloria, are you snow, literally snowed in?
I am. I'm in an igloo. I cannot get out of my driveway. I disappear. You know, I'm a square.
Well, Gloria, let me ask you this. Do we need to bring you food? Do you have food?
Yes. Please.
Oh, dear.
Have all right. Just
I should have everybody to my house. I've got plenty of soup in my freezer.
Well, and you also have a four-wheel drive. You may have to pick everybody up.
Yeah.
I also, if you will indulge me, I want to give a shout-out right now to my across-the-street neighbors, Barbie and Mark, who very patiently, and I mean patiently, helped me dig my car out of my driveway this morning because I don't know if I was really actually getting ready to have a heart attack, but I sure pretended like I was getting ready to have a heart attack. And I want to thank them both. Before we start on today's topics, I want to mention that we had a restaurant tragedy in Kansas City that I'm sure everybody knows about at this point. The gas explosion at JJ's restaurant, which had been a sort of a fixture of the Country Club Plaza since 1985. I know I was very fond of it myself. There are a couple of benefits coming up for the JJ's employees. And Mary, why don't we start with you?
Okay. The Greater Kansas City Restaurant Association is tapping all the Restaurant Week participants for a one-night-only fundraiser tomorrow night on the 23rd. 10% of total sales will go toward the fund to support the employees of JJ's. And if you go to the Restaurant Association's Facebook page, they should have a list of participating restaurants.
That's great. And thank you, Kansas City Restaurant yes. Association. And Emily, what do you know?
Well, I know that there is one on March 5th at the Uptown Theater, and I've seen mention of it floating around Facebook. And I haven't seen it on the Uptown's calendar yet, but if you search March 5th, JJ's fundraiser, you'll find tidbits on Facebook or online, and hopefully there will be some more information put up on the web about that shortly.
Great. And what I understand about that event is that there will be a lot of local bands playing, and there will be a silent auction with lots of art. So as we get more information about that, we will tell you. Those are the two events for JJ's. And just so you know that there'll be some embarrassing moments in this hour of Central Standard Friday, because the topic today is going to be restaurant etiquette, in particular for certain categories, although we have been known to,
stray.
Yeah, stray. I just wanted to say that until very recently, I thought one of the most embarrassing things that used to happen to me when I was a waiter was having to bring a check back to a customer and tell them that their credit card was declined. No matter how the situation was resolved, it was awkward for me, awkward for the customer, and probably not so good for my potential tip because it was so embarrassing. And then, of course, last week, I had my credit card declined because I deposited money into another account and because I'm completely thoughtless and, not. Anyway, it was embarrassing, and the way I handled it was probably the best way I could think of handling it was I made the person I was eating with pay for the bill, and I reimbursed her. So we will be discussing in the second half of the show these subjects, making and keeping reservations, how to handle a credit card being declined. If there is a smooth way of doing it, I don't know what that is. And how do you ask for substitutions, whether it be because of allergies or just preferences, because some restaurants do not like substitutions. And four, and the last topic we'll be discussing in the second half of the show, when and how to send a dish back to the kitchen And as a former waiter, let me tell you that people were either too embarrassed to even think of doing it, or they did it with
too
great
often.
Yeah, well, with great fervor and often. But before we get onto those topics, we're going to do what we always do when we start the show, talk about new and exciting restaurants. And Mary, where have you been?
I have been to an exciting restaurant. It's not new, but I was at a KU game in Lawrence not too long ago, unfortunately one of the losses. So we had to go drown our sorrows. And we went to 715, which I know we talked about not too long ago at 715 Mass Ave. And it stands out to me in Lawrence because it doesn't fit the typical college town look or ambiance.
Well, it's very sophisticated.
It is. If you were in New York, you would not be surprised to walk in there. And the food is excellent. I had this garlic shrimp that was roasted with garlic and spicy harissa, great for dipping bread into.
And they have good bread, if I remember.
They do have good bread. You have to pay extra for it, but it's a lot of restaurants are doing that now, and it is good bread. They do a really nice job with all their vegetables, too.
I just had a vision, though, of it, you know, that Mary dipping her, you know, her bread into the beautiful bubbling garlic shrimp, and the restaurateur notices that she's brought her own bread from home.
I might have to try that sometime. And they have a lot of pasta and pizza. My husband had the spaghetti marinara, and it was a little bland, even though he added spicy. But usually things coming out of the kitchen are quite good there.
And they make their own pasta there.
They do. The pasta itself was quite good.
And Mary, don't they have breakfast?
They have brunch. I know they have a brunch on Saturday and Sunday.
Because I had breakfast there, but it was right when they opened, so I wasn't sure if they were continuing that.
Well, it's a good brunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a menu brunch, yes.
Great.
I also went to Cafe Sebastian in the Kemper at 45th and Warwick for dinner, and I rarely go for dinner, and I love it. It's my only complaint about it is that the tables are too small for four people, but other than that, I've never had a bad meal.
Did you have to bring your own bread?
I did not, but again, you have to ask for it. But it was everything was great. It's a small menu.
It's a small space, really.
Yeah, it is, but every week – and they have a different menu. They'll have a fish and a pork and a meat.
What nights is
vegetarian.
It open for dinner?
Just Friday and Saturday nights.
Okay, that's it.
And then the rest of the week, it's during the week lunch and then Sunday brunch.
I want to remind our listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is Central Standard Friday with the food critics, Mary Block, Charles Ferruzza, that's me, Emily Ferris, and the disembodied voice you're hearing is Gloria Gale calling from the furthest reaches of – are you in Leawood?
I'm in Overland Park.
Well, let's just say Leawood for right now. And we are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you could send us an email. We're happy to get those at centralstandard@kcur.org. And then there's that tweet thing.
That tweet thing, which is at KCURCST.
You got all that. We are taking your phone calls, your tweets, and your emails during the next 40 minutes or so. And we're happy to hear from you. Emily, where have you been?
I went to Pig and Finch last Sunday night. This is a newish place in Leawood and Park Place. They've been open about 2 months.
Now, it's owned by, if I'm correct here, is it owned by the people that own 801 Chop House?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
And because it's next door to it.
Right.
And it's not quite that expensive.
No, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap.
It's supposed to be a gastro pub.
A gastro
focus,
pub. Yeah,
right?
a fancy place to eat pork and drink.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. I think I'm probably prone to like anything that has a pig as its logo. But it's great. It's very plush booths inside. And they have a daily special. So we went on Sunday night and we got what they call on their menu, the best fried chicken ever. And the ever is in all caps. And it comes with a green bean casserole.
Yum.
With fried onions on top. They're like the Durkee onions, but they make them in-house and with fresh green beans. And Yukon mashed potatoes and a buttermilk biscuit with
a raspberry. It wasn't like $14?
It was $15, okay. Which is real. And you know, we also, my husband and I got that, and we shared the pork chop, which was $24. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot more food on the Sunday special. And so I felt like it was really a really good deal, and I would go back for that. Anyway.
Now, they only have the fried chicken on Sundays, correct?
Correct. So they do a different special every day, and that's on their menu on their website, which is Pig and Finch. com, I believe.
And I have the address if you don't have it, Emily.
I do, but yeah. Why don't you offer it from your place out in Overland Park? Out there?
It's 11570 Ash, which is in the former Trezzovino spot.
Yes.
In Park Place.
And they are open every day. So they're open Monday through Sunday, and they open at 11 Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. and at 9 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. So it's a breakfast place out in Leawood. We also, like I mentioned, we got the pork chop, which was big and delicious and had a mustard sauce on it and came with Brussels sprouts. And before that, we shared it was basically an entree salad with grilled chicken. It was good. I would go back.
You two were hungry, baby.
We were hungry.
Now, Gloria, have you also eaten at Pig and Finch?
I have. I thought it was great. And I had the duck cassoulet.
I had that as well. What did you think?
I thought it was great. And it was hearty. And the person I went with had the lamb shank. And the waiter was so cute. He came over after she was about three quarters done and offered her a cocktail straw to suck out the marrow of the bone.
My kind of place.
Yeah, but I thought it was good also.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like any restaurant that offers on the dessert list oatmeal chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And they have a peanut brittle. What is it? Bacon peanut brittle. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you have that?
I did not. I'm not a big dessert person. Probably
well,
going to get
actually,
some hate calls.
It wasn't. It was brought over at the beginning. It's a starter.
Oh, really?
Wow.
I didn't have that.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, it's on their pub snacks menu. So
yeah.
It's a bacon
snack,
nut brittle.
Right.
So it's chopped almonds and pecans.
Now,
it was good.
I did have something from that pub snack menu, and I can't remember what it would have been.
Well, there are six things, so I'll tell you what they are.
Okay.
And then, so there's a fried bread and butter pickles.
Okay.
Blistered peppers. Pretzel bites. I bet you got those. No?
Mm.
Maytag blue cheese potato chips, blue cheese, bacon nut brittle, and marinated olives.
Actually, I didn't have any of those.
Oh.
What was I thinking?
I would have been able to weigh in on this conversation. I was supposed to go last night, but we got snowed in.
You got snowed out.
Snowed out, exactly.
Any other places on your list, Emily, that you've been
yeah,
to?
Yeah, I finally went to the new Bolings on the plaza. And I loved it.
I am surprised it's taken you this long.
I know. I tend to go to New Peking all the time. But finally went on a, I think it was a Friday night. And the new Bolings is at 4701 Jefferson.
And it's glamour.
It's beautiful.
I think we said one time it was like being inside MGM Studios
right, or
something.
It
lots
is
of
the MGM,
colorful lights.
MGM Studio version of a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And was it crowded on a Friday night?
We went kind of early and it wasn't. It was one of those, it was really, really, really cold that night. So I think people were staying in. But I loved it. I thought it was great. And what I really liked, I felt like they're sort of embracing trends that I'm seeing on the coasts in Asian food. So they have a ramen noodle bar and you can pick your broth and pick your meat and pick your noodle and pick your level of spice. And it's, I think, $7.95 for this giant bowl of ramen. And they also have what I discovered in a restaurant in San Francisco that I love, which is a salted fish fried rice, which I haven't seen on many menus here in Kansas City.
I've never seen it on wine, so it sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Well, I think if none of our callers are going to call in and talk about the new restaurants they want to talk
about.
Well,
wait a minute. Let me hone in on
here. Okay, you hone in here, honey.
I'll be your restaurant. Your caller. I ate at a place called I Eat, like little I, like iPod, iPad, Eats, and it's at 13366 Metcalf Avenue, and it is fantastic.
Now, that's a brother and sister restaurant, right? Is that
No, they're not brother and sister.
Are they related at all?
No.
Okay.
They're not. But it is fantastic. It's nothing to look at. You order at a counter. It's in a strip mall. Well, one of those glamorous strip malls. And I'm telling you, the food is so good. It's Pan-Asian. I had crispy salmon rolls for $4.95. That beats any I've ever tasted.
Can you kind of give me I'm trying to figure out where this is. Yeah.
Okay. You know where the intersection of 135th and Old Metcalf is?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's right there.
What's it next to?
It's in this, I don't know what it's next to, but it's, there's a million things out there.
Okay.
It used to be, there were a couple of other restaurants that didn't make it in the slot that they're in, but Bank Midwest is there, and there's just a lot of, there's the Kolachki place out there.
Okay, I know exactly where you're talking
about. And we went on a Saturday night, and I got to tell you, for $22, we had four dishes that were fabulous. And it's wonderful. So Daniel Ty, who is the proprietor, is in the back cooking. And Amy, his intended, I think she's the fiance, girlfriend, is out front. And it's wonderful. So,
like, what were a couple of the entrees you had?
I had, well, the dumplings are enough. There's 8 of them. And then there's crispy salmon rolls and captain's chicken. And we had sweet glazed fish that was fantastic for $7.65.
Hmm.
And then they did have shrimp pad thai. They have beef udon. They have bulgogi, teriyaki steak, and everything's under $8.
That's great.
It's amazing. So it's good. It's very good. And I also went to Rye, and I know most of you guys have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it a lot. I went both lunch and dinner, so I thought it was pretty good.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yep.
We're starting to take phone calls at 816-235-2888. And let's go first to Kevin in Overland Park. Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. My wife and I have a little one, so we don't get to the new restaurants very often. We finally made it to Port Fonda recently, and we're just flabbergasted at the whole experience. But
flabbergasted in a good way?
In a good way,
okay.
Yes. I was delightfully flabbergasted. But I have had a couple of beers at Anton, but did not eat there. And if the food is half as good as the beer, then I'll be scampering back there as fast as I can. I just wanted to see if you guys had been to Anton's down on Main, I believe it
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
it's 1610 Main.
Yeah.
I have. I think the food is great. You ought to scamper back there and give it a try. The short rib sandwich is fabulous with mushrooms and melted cheese. It's almost like a panini. Really good.
And I've been a few times for lunch, and my mother-in-law said that the gazpacho was the best gazpacho, if not the best soup she's ever had in her life, and got another one to go so she could have it for lunch the
which
next
is
day.
Pretty surprising in the middle of winter because
yeah.
it hasn't been open in the summer.
I have eaten
No, minestrone. I'm full of lies of my tomato soups. Minestrone.
I've eaten there 4 times, 2 times for lunch and 2 times for dinner, and it's a very nice, congenial place. And the food, I would say, is very good. It's very good, yeah. And casual.
Well, we had that on our list for this weekend. My parents are coming in town, and I always try and pick out a new establishment. I don't know if this is the weekend to be going out and getting into the elements, looking for a parking spot, so on and so forth. We'll see what they're talking about.
Yeah, we could play all that by ear, I guess.
Are they growing the tilapia in the basement?
Yes.
They said they are.
When I was there, they had the tilapia farm down there, and he had this really cool, sustainable, symbiotic farming type thing going on with herbs and different maybe some vegetables and spices and so on that he was growing, and it was fed by the water from the tilapia. So it was down in the basement. It was a really, really cool setup.
Yeah.
We actually ended up talking to Anton for quite some time about it, and the different sustainable mechanical systems he has in the building. I'm in the design and construction industry, so I kind of geeked out on that, which is why we never made it to the food. We were so caught up in all of the heating and cooling systems they had there. But anyway, we'll good. We'll definitely put it on the list and make it over there. Maybe this weekend, maybe not.
Well, we'll see how the weather goes. Hey, thank you so much, Kevin. It's a scary thought to think that we might be eating frozen pizzas for the next 2 weeks because of the weather. I want to get to our topic about restaurant. We will take more calls about new restaurants, but our topic of restaurant etiquette, because we have an expert waiting on the line, longtime restaurant veteran waiter, David Hayden, who has written a book called Tips for Chips. I hope I've got that right, David. David, do I have the name of your book correct?
Well, it's Tips Squared, Tips for Improving Your Tips.
Very good. So you are, and you also have 5 different blogs, if I last remember.
No, it's up to 6.
Okay. And that are all restaurant related in some fashion. And David is sort of, the go-to person when you talk about restaurant etiquette, because he's worked in many restaurants, not as many as I am, but I'm a whole lot older than he is. And David, let's take the first terrifying thing: is how does one handle the credit card being declined issue? I'll tell you, I would go into a cold sweat as a waiter when that happened.
It's not fun.
No.
I have to admit that it's one of my least favorite parts of the job. The general rule is you want to make it as unnoticeable as possible. The line I've always used is, you know, sir, ma'am, this the machine just really doesn't seem to be liking this card. Is there another one we could try? And what you're hoping for there is that the guest picks up on the subtle hint that the card was declined without having to come right out and say the card was declined.
Although eventually, no, you do have to.
Generally, people will be receptive to that.
And the machine would print a little thing that says declined, so you could say this card isn't going through, and then open
right,
the book.
Right. Now, I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to discuss this when it's a couple. When it's a table of four or more, then you're sort of getting into public humiliation, and that was the part that used to drive me crazy. Because you don't want to embarrass your customer in front of his friends, or even worse, his new in-laws. And sometimes credit card machines, you know, don't read a card correctly. That has been known to happen. But I have found that after the initial awkwardness, you know, people do tend to have other credit cards.
Yeah, and most people will pick up on that pretty quick. What you don't want to do as a guest is say, well, could you go try to run it a few more times, or could you try entering it manually or something? This is something that probably occurs at busy restaurants. It's not unusual for this to occur once a night. It's really much more common than people understand, especially, you know, when people are on vacation and maybe they put their hotel room on a debit card and the hotel is, you know, pre-authorizing a lot of extra money, or, you know, the automatic deposit didn't clear in time. You know, whatever it is, people need to accept that it happens quite a bit. And it's just a really awkward situation because the server and the restaurant has spent, you know, an hour to 2 hours doing everything they can to make sure you don't have to worry about anything, that everything is taken care of. And there comes this point at the end of a meal where the dynamic has changed, and now the restaurant is asking you for something, and the server is asking you for something. And that's the situation. That's the time when we absolutely don't want anything to go wrong.
David, have you, as a server, ever picked up a tab in that kind of situation, and knowing that the customer would or wouldn't come back?
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times, that's just kind of how you handle it. You know, you just go ahead and, you know, especially if it's a small one or, you know, if it's someone you know, you just pick it up and kind of subtly let them know that, you know, they can come back in tomorrow and get this taken care of. And also a lot of times, you know, you'll have them, you know, leave a driver's license or take a copy of their driver's license, you know, just to make sure that everyone's covered. But, yeah, generally you just go ahead and take that as you know, the cost of doing business someday.
Well, and I used to do it. If it was a regular customer, if it was a customer I'd waited on many times before, I'd just pick up the tab myself and pray to the gods almighty that they would come in, because amazingly, my credit card was not declined in that situation. So there we go.
Yeah, it's a relationship building. You want to have a relationship with your guests, and you want the guests to feel good about the restaurant. And the last thing you ever want to do is lose a regular guest over something like this out of embarrassment.
We are getting ready to go to break, David. Can I put you on hold? There's one more topic I want to discuss with you. It's one that's very close to your heart.
I would be happy.
Okay, we're going to put David on hold. When we come back, we'll talk more about restaurant etiquette with Mary Block, Gloria Gale from Afar, and Emily Ferris. And you're back with us on Central Standard Friday. My name is Charles Ferruza. I'm here with you. And I should also say that I'm from The Pitch and The Pitch's food blog, which is fatcity@pitch.com. I'm with Mary Block, Emily Ferris, and calling from the tundra of Kansas, Gloria Gale. Are you still with us? Gloria, where's our Gloria?
It's over.
Gloria?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I lost you.
No, 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 no.
Are you hungry?
I am. I am, and freezing.
are you cold?
No, no, okay. No, I'm fine. I just want something to eat.
Well, before we get to talking about what you could have to eat, let's go back to David Hayden. And David, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay. David, I believe we discussed this already, that on Valentine's Day, there were people who had made reservations to dine at the restaurant where you work and did not show up.
Yeah, quite a few of them.
And that is not untypical. I have found in my own career that during the busiest restaurant days, which tend to be Valentine's, Mother's Day, and New Year's Eve, people will make reservations at two or three restaurants and then sort of kind of forget to cancel the other ones. And there are examples in cities now where if you make a reservation at a very popular restaurant, they will ask for your credit card number. And if you do not show, you'll be charged a fee. Have you heard of that, David?
Yeah, it's becoming quite common. And it's, you know, even in cities like Chicago, they're asking you to prepay for your meal up front.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
And I hate seeing the industry come to that. I hope it never does. But it's partially the responsibility of the guest to remember that, you know, we have a limited number of spaces available and a limited number of tables, and we certainly don't want to overbook and make you wait an hour for your reservation, and we don't want to have to rush you out of there. So we try to take the right amount of reservations, but that requires...
Oh, do we lose David? It looks like we have. Well, David, maybe we can get you back, but...
Charles, I have experienced this a little bit in Kansas City, only when doing a... special dinners,
okay. Yes,
which is really important because they try to, you know, they bring in a guest chef and do special ingredients, and perhaps it's a pairing dinner. So I've gone to pairing dinners at a Beer Kitchen and a few other places in Kansas City where they will ask you to pay ahead. And I think for a dinner like that, it's really acceptable to do that.
And I think very, very fair. Let's see. We've got Mike and Shawnee. You have a credit card story, don't you?
I do, and I'll try and keep it short. It's kind of a funny story. It happened about 30 years ago. You'll remember La Mediterranea on the Plaza.
We do, fondly.
And I was with this company, big national company, been with them 4 or 5 months, and starting a big sales and marketing office, which is still in existence, actually, here. And I had all the visiting firemen in town for dinner, you know, to kind of look at my little office, and had my VP and the senior VP, and I had even had the president of the company. When I took them all to dinner, I'm sitting at La Med, and I just complained to them about, look, you've got to reimburse these monthly expense accounts quicker because my employees are not, you know, they're having to float your expenses on their personal credit card. And I got this assurance, yeah, we'll take care of this. So the waiter brings the bill, and he whispers in my ear, I'm sorry, sir, they've declined your American Express card. So I said, look, here's a great example, and I handed it to the president of the company. He paid it with his own American Express card. But that was kind of a cute story, and it did fix the problem, but the timing could not have been better.
Yeah, that's a case where a credit card being declined actually led to a happy ending as opposed to, you know, tears.
Yep.
And you know.
It did.
Hey, thank you so much, Mike. And I'm going to go back to David here. David, back to reservations, although I did want to ask David this because has a customer ever, when a credit card's been declined, has a customer ever told you, where's the kitchen? I'll start washing dishes.
Yeah, and I generally respond that they highly overestimate the rate of pay of the average dishwasher in an American restaurant.
Yeah, that's an old movie thing, I believe, that, you know, well, we'll just have to wash dishes. As a former dishwasher, let me tell you, you do not want to wash dishes. But back to reservations, David. What if you had to tell our listeners what is the proper etiquette for making and keeping reservations? What is it?
You know, just let the restaurant know a few days in advance that you're not going to be there, and we can rebook those spots. Even if you find out last minute and something happens, if you call and cancel, we can, you know, hopefully get somebody who's walking in into that spot, because at these restaurants, We're having to turn away oftentimes 2 to 3 times as many people as we accept. And so there are people that want those tables, and it's unfortunate that somebody wants to impress their date by saying, oh, I have reservations at these 5 restaurants, and does so at the cost of other guests who would really like to celebrate at a nice restaurant.
David, I have a question for you. This is Emily.
Sure.
Recently, I was going out with some friends, and we were having a drink at their house before dinner, and it was restaurant week, and we had a reservation, and I was like, we got to go, our reservation's at 7:30, and the friends we were with said, I've never been on time for a reservation. What do you think is the proper amount of wiggle room in there, and how long do nicer restaurants hold a reservation I decided to call ahead. I said, we're going to be 5 to 7 minutes late because I like to be on time for my reservations and not have a bad reputation when making them. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think the time that you hold the person who is in front of you in line's reservation is always less than you expect that yours is held for. And that's kind of a tough it's a tough ground because we want to get people who are waiting, who are there, and maybe their reservation was 15 minutes after you. We would love to go ahead and get them to a table, especially right. people who show up early. And a lot of times when you have a reservation and the restaurant makes you wait, you know, we have the stuff down to a science. And that means that the person who had the table before you was oftentimes late for their reservation. And that's why you're waiting to get to your table. And so it's really as much a courtesy for the guests that will be dining later in the evening as it is a courtesy to the restaurant to let us know so as that we can do our best to shuffle things around so as that it disrupts as few other people's meals as possible.
Have you ever?
Because you won't be the last person at that table.
Right. Have you ever asked anyone who was really late for a reservation and lingering to get up and go?
You have to sometimes. And it's a rarity, you know. It happens a handful of times a year, and a lot of times it's on big nights like Valentine's Day, like you know New Year's Eve, where we might allot an hour and a half to 2 hours for a meal, which you know is relatively generous.
I think very generous on a holiday.
But when that time expires, you know, it's not just that. If you could continue this conversation at our bar, we would be happy to buy you a drink.
Yeah, that's
The people waiting at the bar in those seats are waiting for your table. So
David, this
meal.
Is Gloria. I have a flip, a little bit of a different take on this. What happens when you're waiting for your meal and it never shows up? Or it shows up 45 to an hour late?
Gloria, that's because you reserved the table, but you forgot to reserve your dinner.
Well, not even for a reservation, just in a regular casual dining situation.
Sure, and, you know, that's something where, at that point, it's falling back onto the restaurant.
Oh,
and
definitely.
At that point, as a guest, you're not to blame, you know, and you want to make sure, you know, as a server, when those things happen, and, you know, I've been real fortunate that I haven't worked someplace in a while where that was common, but you want to make sure that you're checking in with the guests and that you're them updated and them in the loop.
Yeah, but that doesn't always happen. I'm just wondering, is it polite or impolite to get up and leave?
No, you don't get up and leave.
You don't get up and leave.
No.
Okay.
Unless you've been sitting at a table for 30 minutes and no one has approached you.
Right.
Before you've ordered.
If you've already ordered, you need to talk to a manager before you get up and leave.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing to remember. And also, you know, if it's taking that long, then something out of the ordinary has happened, and especially in, you know, if it's happening at a nicer restaurant. And I think, you know, something that's really been hitting me hard, especially this week, is, you know, we have to remember that people in restaurants are human. And, you know, there are a great number of professionals that want to do everything they can to make sure that your meal is perfect and flawless. But if a restaurant's, you know, taking, you know, longer than normal, it's often because something has happened behind the scenes or with one of their employees that has caused that event to occur. And sometimes, you know, the benefit of the doubt goes a long way in cutting them a little bit of slack and realizing that they're human and there are outside circumstances that sometimes cause these events to happen.
David, these are all excellent points, and thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And that was author and waiter David Hayden, and we've got a full switchboard, but you can feel free to join us at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We have a Facebook message from Jean, who writes, I decided to order the Caesar salad. It arrived with granulated Parmesan cheese smothering the somewhat limp, slightly brown pieces of romaine. I was terribly embarrassed for the establishment. When the waiter arrived, I asked if everything was okay at our table. I figured, why not tell them? I said, this could be the worst Caesar salad I've ever had. Once home, I constructed a respectful email addressed to the manager, who in turn mailed back her apologies and a coupon for a free dessert. Let's go to I want to say Bob. Bob, you've sent things back, correct?
Very few.
Okay.
I would rather not. I've sent one bottle of wine back in my life, and the waiter and the bartender said, indeed, it was a lousy bottle of wine, and was more vinegar than wine.
And did they replace it with the same vintage?
Yeah, they said I went with another bottle.
Okay.
Another bottle of Spanish wine.
And have you ever sent food back?
We were at very seldom. I don't think I have ever. We were with a party last Sunday at not a steak place, but our friend ordered a tenderloin, a filet, and a steak, and it came to the table, and it was long and thin and looked like a sirloin, had connective tissue that looked like a sirloin.
So, in other words, it probably was a sirloin.
Yes. Oh. And so, as she didn't want to say anything, I said, that's nonsense. You know, she was in her mid-60s. She's had plenty of sirloins. She knows the difference between a sirloin and a filet. And we sent it back to the manager, and the manager, the waiter, and the waiter took it to the manager, and the manager informed us that they pounded out their filets there at that restaurant.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Bob. And let me ask our panelists, Mary, have you ever sent food back?
You know, I have, again, rarely. I really don't like to, and especially doing the work that we all do, you don't want to call attention to yourself. This whole topic is interesting because I'm writing an article for The Star on something quite similar that should be in the paper in the next couple of weeks. And what I found from interviewing people, and I interviewed David, as a matter of fact, you know, if you send your food back because you don't like it, that's a major cost to the restaurants, and their margins are razor thin. If it's not what you ordered,
you shouldn't have ordered it.
Right. No, but if it's not prepared the way you asked for it, you know, if that gentleman's steak had come out well done and he wanted it rare, by all means, that's fair. But simply because you don't like it is not a good reason to send food back.
Emily, you want to weigh in?
I agree with Mary, and I had a similar experience with a steak. I ordered a filet at an old kind of old style steakhouse, medium rare, and it came out well done. I was really hesitant to send it back, but I ended up doing it because, and here's another etiquette issue, I was there on a Groupon. And I think there's already a feeling of staff, and I've been a server myself, somebody comes in with a Groupon, oh, are they going to tip on their discounted mm-hmm. amount? You should always tip on the full amount of what your meal would be if you're getting a special, if you're using a coupon or a Groupon or getting a 2-for-1. You should always do that. And so I knew I was going to do that, but I was very worried because I am always very upfront about the fact that I have a Groupon when I go in somewhere. And I usually say, I have a Groupon, but don't worry, I tip on the full amount. But I was hesitant to send it back because I was already there on a discount. But I did. I wanted my steak a little bit bloody, and it was brown like cardboard. And the server opened it and apologized, and they were very apologetic. And in most cases, in all cases, I would hope that restaurants want you to have what you ordered and their meat to be prepared the best that it should be. And so they were happy to replace it. But of course, I felt a little guilt sending it back.
And I went to a restaurant, always loved the Reuben there, and it was like shaved. It was horrible. I didn't eat it. And the chef came out and said, why didn't you tell me? If you had told me, I could have fixed it.
That's why sometimes it is constructive to complain. Let's go to Margaret in Kansas City, Missouri. Margaret, are you with us?
I am. I have a comment not only about a restaurant that you commented about earlier, but also about returning things on takeout. I ordered a quarter soup. It was sweet and sour from Bowling's. My husband was home sick, so I thought, well, sweet and sour soup would do well. And when we got it home, it tasted just like gravy with hot sauce. I've never had sweet and sour like that. There was no sour. It was gravy with hot sauce.
Okay.
And it had advertised there would be some vegetables and that there would be some meat. And there were 3 3.5-inch, quarter-inch meat strips. So I called, said it was unsatisfactory. I would like it taken off of my credit card. And she went, talked to the the cook and said that, came back and said, no, it tastes fine, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I don't know how you can say it tastes fine. And she says, well, this is always, you know, frozen ahead of time, and this is what we serve. And I said, well, it's clearly unsatisfactory.
So to make a long story short, was the item removed from your credit card?
Well, we went round and round for 15 minutes, and then it came up with, well, we don't do that unless you return it. And I said, well, I can't possibly drive all the way back. And she basically said, well, we don't deal with credit cards over the phone. And I said, well, you have my credit card number. I give you permission. So after 15 minutes, and finally I said, well, I won't be getting off the phone until it's redone. And so I got more and more assertive tone of being aggressive, and she finally took it off.
All right. I want to comment on that, because that is not an unusual scenario for people who frequently get takeout. I find it difficult to believe that the sweet and sour soup didn't taste like soup, sweet and hot and sour soup, rather. But what I find happens more frequently is that you get your takeout order home and it's not all there.
Right.
You're missing a fried rice, or you're missing this, or you're missing that. And, you know, you don't want to go back, but guess what? You have to. So what do you think, Emily, on that? You're a takeout girl.
I am a takeout girl. I have gotten to the point where I always check my bag before
which
I leave.
Which I think is very smart.
Because I'm a takeout girl, and I'm also lazy. And when I get home and have a bag of delicious-smelling food, I want to eat it right away. So I always check before I leave the restaurant to make sure I have everything.
I think that is wise.
Yeah, I want to mention something here. This is unusual. A friend of mine was at a restaurant recently and had breakfast and cut into the pancake, and there was a meal bug in there.
A what bug?
One of those meal bugs.
Oh, mealy bugs?
Yeah, mealy bugs. And, you know, he was, I mean, that can cause somebody to go into a tizzy. So the restaurant handled it quite nicely and just took it away. You know, it wasn't their fault. I mean, it just happens. But he got a bad batter. So they compensated him with a free meal, I believe.
Well, that's a compensation is, I think, always good. Let's go to, I'm interested to talk to, Bob, is this Kevin?
Hello.
Hi, Kevin and KCK?
Yes.
Okay, what do you want to tell us?
Well, your guest who wrote Tips for Tips spurred an old memory. About 30 years ago, I was bartending at the rooftop of the Alameda Plaza, and it was on Thanksgiving evening, which was kind of a dream job for a bartender back then, because they turn on the plaza lights. And
you make a lot of money.
Yeah. We had the T-Dye Trio in those days, Milt Abel and Tommy Ruskin. Anyway, I was cashing him out at the bar, and I returned his change in, a large denomination, some tens and his 20s or whatever. And he acted outraged, like I was giving him back this change, hoping he was going to leave me a big bill. And he goes, I know what you're doing. And I thought, what am I doing? And, you know, he goes, yeah, I guess my point is, he thought I was supposed to break his change down so that, you know, there'd be some ones and fives. Well, I gave him what I thought, you know, was the best change. And then he could leave me whatever he wanted, if he wanted me to break.
Yeah, but if he didn't have any ones and fives and he wanted them to leave a tip, I think he was very fair to expect that.
Well, yes, but I guess my point is, wouldn't that have been presumptuous of me to break his money down for him?
No. No. As a waiter who used to make, you know, the rule of thumb, give them lots of ones and fives.
Charles, I have another change issue here.
All right.
So as a former server and a frequent diner now, one thing that I never did, and it kind of annoys me when servers do, you put your bill down and they say, can I get you some change? I think you should always offer to bring change and always bring change.
Yes.
Because that puts the diner in an awkward situation, especially if there's a, we do need change or we're going to add more. So just always bring change.
Yes, and that's why, you know, you can't have enough fives and ones as a waiter. You really can't. Let's go to Bob. Bob?
Hello.
How are you, Bob?
Well, I tell you what, I was on Nolan Road last night. There was only two restaurants open in near I-70. Denny's was absolutely packed, but there was Bandana's Barbecue. Their lot had just been plowed, and I walked in and sat. I was by myself. I sat at the bar where you could see, you know, the workflow and the stuff coming out of the kitchen. Well, then the guy next to me was a regular, and he says, well, he says, they're on short staff. They got the manager's the cook, and the assistant manager is doing everything else, and there's one. Anyway, there were three people running the whole place, and so I sat there and watched. Perfect teamwork. Perfect teamwork. I mean, I never saw people switch jobs and say, Shirley, do you want me to get the drink order or do you want to do the so-and-so? And you never saw any three people do any more work faster in your whole life. See, now, so the etiquette comes up. Overall, the service was slow because they had, you know, they couldn't get to everybody, but they stayed organized and everybody got served and everybody got their needs met. It was just slow. So when it came time to leave a tip, guess what? I left hazardous duty tip level. And the gal looked me right in the eye and said, thank you very much. And I made sure it was well above 20% because I was very glad that they had come to work that night and they were giving it their best shot.
Hey, thank you, Bob. That's an excellent, excellent point. People forget that. You know, just like show business, in restaurants, the show must go on. Whether the dishwasher doesn't show up, whether one of the cooks doesn't show up, they still have to serve everybody. And it's excellent teamwork to me is the sign of really good management.
Well, and on the subject of tips, you know, if something comes out of the kitchen and it's not prepared properly or to your liking, you really shouldn't blame the server for that. You can choose not to go back to the restaurant, but that's the kitchen's fault, not the server's.
But, you know, the server is on the front line. So let's go to Janelle. Janelle, are you with us?
Yes. I was going to have or give a takeout story. 12 years ago, I was pregnant, and it was the ninth month, craving chocolate cheesecake. Went down to the Cheesecake Factory, did not check my order. Big mistake. Got home, comfy in bed, pajamas, bunny slippers on, opened it up, and it was apple cheesecake.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, when you're pregnant and having a craving, apple can make you cry. So I headed back down to the Cheesecake Factory. It was like a Friday night, super busy. The manager saw me coming in with my bunny slippers, and he was like, I already know what happened. And he ended up filling a bag with, like, three pieces of chocolate cheesecake and was like, I'm so sorry. I felt fine. I was pleased with his feeling in this situation. He had a pregnant wife at home. He was like, I know this is a major snafu. And we laughed about it, went back home, had my cheesecake for three nights in a row, and everything worked out fine.
That's great. That's a wonderful story, Janelle. And I think we have time for one very quick, and I mean very quick, call. Linister, are you with us?
Yes. This is how I handle wine in a restaurant, especially if I've never tasted it before. I ask the waiter to please get a glass and sample the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, is this the character of the wine or is it a little bit off? And then we'll discuss it.
Hey, that's a good point. All right. I think everybody should taste wine first. It's an expensive proposition.
Yeah. Exactly.
This has been an exciting show. Gloria, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Stay warm.
And
I will.
Do we have time for this one last call? I say let's try it. Erica, are you with us? Oh.
Well, that made it easy.
That made it very easy. All right. Well, I want to thank my guests, Mary Block and Emily Ferris for braving the snow. Our show was produced today by Matthew Long Middleton. Our announcer is Suzanne Hogan. Remember, you can find a list of all of the restaurants we mentioned today at kcor.org/Central Standard Friday and archival recordings and podcasts of all of our previous shows. Up to Date is next with a conversation with Doonesbury cartoonist Gary Trudeau. I'm Charles Ferruza, and this is Central Standard Friday. Enjoy your food, Kansas City.